see was we had a memorial service for Miss Elaine Hendricks last night, and what a great time it was celebrating her Lord. Love the Lord. We will miss her, but I look forward to seeing her. Need more people like Elaine on this earth that love the Lord and love people. So what a great time that we had. Had a nasty day yesterday for the Todd Festival, but we had a pretty good showing for the beans, the pinto bean meal. And so thank you for all your hard work. A lot of people worked hard, and so I'm so thankful. I know Lee and the kids parked cars in the rain most of the day, and I know they didn't make a whole lot, so maybe the Lord will make up for that, you guys working so hard. And so we're just thankful. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing here at South Fork. And so the reason I didn't sing in the choir, I'm not mad. You can tell my voice is a little stretched. And so I wanted to save it where I could holler at you for the next 30 minutes. So, we continue on with our Sermon on the Mount. I've had a lot of people last week's sermon, I know, very difficult, but had a lot of people just thankful. And so preaching through the Sermon on the Mount is difficult because it hurts, but you know what? It's God's Word. And it touches us. It catches all areas of life. And if we wait long enough, sooner or later, it'll touch you and find you right where you're at. And so this morning, as we continue on, our message is let your yes be yes and your no be no. Out of Matthew chapter 5, 33 through 37. Let's stand to our feet and reverence God's Word as we go. Matthew chapter 5, 33 through 37. The Word of God says, again, you have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the next few minutes. May Christ be glorified. Hit us, Lord. Touch our hearts right where we are. God, may we not be the same when we leave here because of what the Word of God has shown us. And we'll give you all the glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Does our speech matter? Does what we say make a difference? There's a lot of people that debate about that. Nowadays, we live in a world that, if you think about truth and fantasy and outright falsehood, are all blended together into mixtures that are sometimes unscrambled. You can't understand them. They're scrambled all together. And so it's hard to make out what's truth and what's not. Truth is so scarce that nearly everyone is suspect. Think about that. So scarce that everyone is suspect. And we'll think about these, how it affects us. We'll see that come out in the sermon. Our society at large, listen, is built on a network of fabrication of a manufactured truth. We shade the truth, we cheat, we exaggerate, we misrepresent tax deductions, make promises we have no intentions of keeping, we make up excuses, betray friends, and then that's all in everyday living. Daniel Webster made that there is nothing as powerful as the truth, and often nothing as strange. That's what he said. But in all societies around the world, think about, they see the need for truth. Think about our laws and how they're set up and our court system. What do they make you do if you go into court? If you've ever had to testify, you put your hand on the Bible, don't you? You raise your right hand, what do you say? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What? So help me God. And so how our court systems even see how important that true justice is based upon truth. And the Jews of Jesus' day, they revered the idea of this idea of truth, but most of the time in principle, but not always in practice. And we've seen that as Jesus dealing in the Sermon on the Mount with this idea of superficially we can do things and look good, but he's trying to get to the heart of the matter. If you remember, I said the heart of the matter is a heart matter. And so he's dealing with these things and how we should be very truthful in our dealings and how we should look and how Christ says this is what it should look like, and how they had perverted the law and made it into something that it wasn't. And we're in the midst of these illustrations, these six illustrations, that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will know why I see the kingdom of heaven. And so these are the illustrations of that. and we're in the midst of that when we get to this idea of truthfulness and oath-taking. And Jesus is addressing this perversion of the law today. And that's first of all, look, the principle of the Mosaic law in verse 33. He says, again, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Leviticus 19:12 says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Look back in Leviticus. Is it here's my idea. I want to ask you a question this morning, because is it proper to make an oath? Is it proper to do oath-taking? And that's going to be a question that arises in this, and we'll see when Jesus addresses it. We'll say, is he saying never to take an oath? And even with the Quakers, if anybody knows the Quakers, they won't take that oath in court because they feel like it's violating God's word. And so I want us to think about that question. We see examples in the Scripture, if you think about oath-taking. One of them in Genesis 24, where Abraham's looking for a bride for Isaac. You remember, and he told him, he said, man, I don't want Isaac to take a son from these Canaanite women. And so he sends Eleazar, his oldest servant there. And he says, put your hand under my thigh and swear to the God of heaven, make an oath unto the God of heaven, that you will not let my son take a bride from the Canaanite women, but you'll find somebody from my heritage, my own lineage. And so Eleazar makes that oath. Another thing is we think about with Joseph, children of Israel. Remember, 400 years, he ends up, Joseph in Israel, and they're getting ready, and he knows that God's going to deliver them from Egypt. And what does he say? Swear by the God of heaven, you will not let my bones rest here, but you'll take me with him. And they did when they come out. They made that oath, and they kept it. And so we see oath-taking. We see Paul in Galatians, he talks about in God's eyes, in God's sight. In other words, he's calling on God to be a witness. It's like saying, look at this. In Thessalonians, he says the same thing. So we see these oaths before God, he'll say, before God. It's really this idea of oaths, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Numbers 32 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. How important it is for us to be honest people. Deuteronomy 23:21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be a sin. It would be sin to you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, it says, when you make a vow to the Lord, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what is vowed. Better not to vow than to make a vow and not pay it. Wow. They're strong words. Hebrews 6:16 talks about the oath that's taken. When it's taken in a name that's always higher than ourselves. In the name of God is the highest you can go. When you make an oath to the Lord. Have you ever made promises to God? Been many a person that came face to face with death. Those death foxhole confessions is what they're called. And they make, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I promise, whatever. And we might have been there before. Oh, Lord, if you'll just do this, I promise. And so we've got to be careful about making these oaths unto the Lord or vows that we don't keep. And so I want us to think this idea of this judgment on this self when we don't keep our oaths, our vows unto the Lord, that we have judgment. I want us to look at the second part, which is the perversion. This is how the Pharisees were seeing these things. We read these scripture, how these oaths that were being taken. And there's really two principles the Pharisees had overlooked. It was a missing ingredient first. I want you to see this. It says, the proper circumstances for making an oath, the Pharisees had made it all situations and all areas. And, you know, really, this all boils down to one word, integrity. Integrity. Being honest about what we say. Integrity, which means wholeness or entireness. It's this idea of a person without a divided heart. You remember what James said about a double-minded man, right? When he said he's unstable in all his ways. Do we have a divided heart this morning? Because when our heart is singleness, has a singleness of mind in our Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, you know what? We're going to have integrity in all areas of our walk of life. We're going to have a heart that has this singleness of pleasing our Lord. And then what we say matters. We don't have different language for where we're at. Do you talk different on Sunday morning than you do on Monday through Saturday? Is there language that you'd never use at church that you use every day? That's compartmentalizing what we're doing. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants integrity every area of our life, every day of our life. Did you know that by age 4, 90% of all children, 90% grasp the understanding of lying or shading the truth? Age 4. It's not hard to pass on, is it? There was a study done in Massachusetts in 2002. The study was 60% of adults tested cannot, within a 10-minute conversation, cannot go without lying. 60%. In 2002, I'm thinking, dear Lord, what is it today? You know, it's like, and it says without lying, and they averaged 3 lies within that 10-minute conversation. And they didn't even realize they were doing it until it was played back to them and they saw it. Man, our truthfulness, our honesty before the Lord matters. It counts so much. Who gets lied to the most in a book, The Day America Told the Truth? Guess who gets lied to the most? 86% of parents get lied to the most. Did you do that? How many of us probably did it ourselves? No, I didn't. It was whoever, your sister. 75% of friends get lied to. 73% of siblings, 69% of spouses. 70% of all internet users, you know what they're looking for? A date. A date. 70% says 90% lie on their profile, though. Ladies, biggest fib, you'll guess. What did they tell more lies about, guys? Wait. 8.5 pounds, they fib on, it says an average of 8.5 pounds. Men, do you know what the men fib about? Height, tallness, how much money they make, how educated they are. Look, wow, think about that. And you're looking for a spouse, and 90% of it is lies. It's amazing, but that's the world that we live in. You know what our character about being truthful, you know where it's learned at? In the home. Mom and Dad, how important it is that we teach our kids to be honest. And the only way we do that is we don't shade the truth to you. See, most of us say, oh, we don't lie, but you know what? We'll dance all around those gray areas. We'll shade it. We didn't lie, but we didn't tell the truth either. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But you know what? The Pharisees, they had not taken the circumstances in life as important. They were missing. The missing ingredient was that when we make that oath, when we saw the scripture, that if it's unto the Lord, when we're making an oath, they were saying, well, as long that it's not unto the Lord, as long as it wasn't made in God's name, then it's all right to break it. And yet we'll see that Jesus is going to tell them, listen, all oaths are made unto the Lord. And they were using these different things. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's the deal. Do you know what that does when it says insincere vows become commonplace and no one took anything serious? Instead of a mark of integrity, it became a mark of deceit. They would tell anybody anything to get what they wanted, usually in business. They would say anything. You know what that does? Makes everyone a skeptic. Everyone a skeptic. Now, I'm going to tell you. I'll just confess and be honest. Try to do that with you anyway. When you're going down the street, most of the time it's out on Bamboo before you turn up the hill. What's that street go up the hill? Is that Raven Ridge? Wilson Ridge. You saw what? Most of the time there's somebody there that's panhandling. Right? They got their sign. And I notice it's the same ones and they'll take turns. If we're not careful, you know what we do? It makes us get. We think, that people, you know what? They're just panhandling. They're just using. They're taking advantage of everybody. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. It used to be that a heart of compassion, it didn't matter who needed anything, I would give. But now I've got to the point where, you know what? I don't even pay any attention. It's made me a skeptic. It's made me a skeptic. Dishonesty does that. Most preachers are looked at because of the garbage of the 80s and 90s and the televised preachers. Most preachers are not respected in any way. We're not any different than anybody else, but you know, they just think they're just out for money, just out for, you know, see what they can get ahead. It makes skeptic out of us. If you work, if you're in construction or whatever you do, if you don't do a good job, you know what? Nobody trusts anybody, right? And we should be people of integrity in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Well, not only is it that the missing ingredient, but look at the misplaced emphasis. And it goes on with the idea that they weren't taking honest oaths to the Lord. The keeping of the oath to the Lord was mandatory, but the keeping of the other was made optional. How ridiculous. It's a double standard is what it is. Double standard. Anyone would swear by heaven or earth or by the temple or even by the hairs on their head. They said you can't make your hair black or white. We know we can do that in today's world, but this won't last quite as long, right? But this is what they're saying. They're swearing by the hairs on my head, by my mama's grave. I mean, you can think of the things. We swear by these things, and you know, we're trying to be portrayed as people of honesty. But a real sincere heart does not have to be portrayed. It's your word. It used to be. It used to be his handshake. Didn't you remember? It used to be if somebody shook your hand, look, it's kind of like putting that thigh hand under the thigh. I thought about that when I was studying that. It used to be that handshake meant something, didn't it? Think of that, Bobby. It used to be a handshake meant something. You didn't have to sign papers for everything. You didn't have to have contracts. It used to be if you shook a man's hand and said, I'd do it. You'd do it. It would be done. But we don't live in that day anymore, is it? Makes everybody a skeptic. We all wonder if we can depend or even believe people. And it was acceptable as long as it wasn't in Jesus' name. And in fact, it took the Leviticus 19:12, where it says, you shall not swear falsely by my name, was conveniently interpreted to mean that swearing falsely by any other name was allowed. Is that not human? Is that not how we do? As long as it's not Jesus' name, we can swear all we want to. And he's the rabbinic the tradition and God's standard is absolute truthfulness. He doesn't want this double standard that as long as you're not swearing by God, but he's going to straighten them out in just a minute. They wanted to lie and not be hampered by the absolute standard of truth. They reduced it to suit their own interests, and that's what we see. And so I want us to see the perspective of divine truth next. The perversion was, but listen to what Jesus says, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is the footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, or your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. He's letting us know, listen, Jesus is saying, no, when you're swearing, all oaths are under the Lord. Is God not present? Does God not see you? Is he not with you every day? Then I need to realize that when I'm with my buddies, that my language is just as important as it is when I'm standing here before you on Sunday morning. God sees. And when I make a promise, listen now, you want to get... Mom and Dad, when you make promises to your kids, keep them. They know. They say, look, I promise to take who and whatever do this for you, and then you never do. You know what you teach them to do? Why? Why? When you make a promise, keep it. We're the ones that teach it and pass it on. They see. We'll tell them one thing, but if we live whatever you live, it's what they pick up. Have you noticed that? If you're dishonest, you'll raise dishonest kids. Jesus is letting us know, hey, it's not that, and when you read this, if you take it concretely, you say, well, he's saying don't swear at all, and that's what the Quakers did. We see examples of oaths under the Lord. He's talking about making these flippant oaths. Think about how we use oaths. And the examples that we talk about, as a doctor, what do you take? You take the Hippocratic Oath, right? You take an oath. Military, hey, you pledge right there. You say, I'm going to protect from all foreign and domestic threats. To obey the commander-in-chief. We take oaths in military. Marriage, do we not say, till death do us part? Talked about that last week. That's an oath before the Lord. Our court system, we ought to talk about putting our hand on the Bible. We take oaths. Even a baby dedication. Think about when many of you brought your babies up there. What are you saying? We're taking, really before the Lord, we're saying we're going to raise this child to know God. And as best our best purposes that we can, we're going to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Is that not an oath before the Lord? And so he's not saying there's not times if that was the truth that any of these things would be wrong. He's saying that this flippancy, which the Pharisees and the Jews had taken and making it, they were insincere in their language and the words that they were using. They were lying. he couldn't rely on, they were dishonest, to make dishonest gain. All oaths are unto the Lord. And I look in Matthew 23, listen to what he addresses this. Matthew chapter 23, 16 through 22, listen to what he says. He says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar or that which sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe to men and niece and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law." He's saying you're just getting caught up and going through, here we go, just performing the cookie cutter. Just come to church. Just go through the motions. Why? Mom and Daddy's already done it. Grandpa and Grandpa, I know it's the right thing to go to church. I just got to go to church. If it doesn't make any difference in your life, why go to church? It's the same thing. It's just going through the motions of life. It's not having an honest heart. Do you realize God wants to use you right where you're at? He's placed you in your mission field. He wants you to be honest. Well, you know what? Listen, I was 21 years, I was a CNC machinist. Worked in manufacturing. I was the lead man, so I had a bunch of guys under me. Sometimes I still had dreams. The other week, I didn't even tell Sandy. I was dreaming there I was in Dana making those tubes again. I did it for 21 years, and there I was working hard. You know what I was doing? Same thing I was doing then, trying to get the rest of these guys to work. Americans are lazy. That's the reason you see these guys down there picking the strawberries. That's because we're too good to do that anymore. All right? That's why they're getting all the jobs, because we don't want to work. We want somebody to give it to us. And these guys work harder at getting out of work. That's all I'd get done would be up there firefighting. These machines tore up. Well, most of the time they tore it up so they wouldn't have to do anything. Guys, listen. We laugh, but think about it. That's our society. That's America. America didn't used to be like that. Okay? That's right. The greatest generation that gave their life so we could have freedom. They worked hard. They believed in working hard and doing a good day's work and giving it all unto the Lord. Everything we do is unto the Lord. If you're going and you're not giving the Lord your day, you're stealing from the company you're working for. You're lying, you're cheating, you're being dishonest. God, he's trying to show these Pharisees, they were all caught up in doing the right thing, looking good, but they weren't being. Looking and being are two different things. It reminds me of a story about two brothers. They were real rich, but they were also wicked, and both lived a wild, unprofitable existence, using their wealth to cover up the dark side of their lives. On the surface, however, they looked like they were doing okay. They were going to church. They both gave greatly to church needs and all these things, And they looked really good on Sunday morning. And it said, then the church called a new pastor, a young man who preached the truth with zeal and courage. And before long, attendance had grown so much that the church needed a larger worship center. Being a man of keen insight and strong integrity, the young man had also seen through the hypocrisy of the two men, the two brothers. Suddenly, one of the brothers died, and the young pastor was asked to preach the funeral. And the day before the funeral, the surviving brother, he come up and he pulled the minister aside and he handed him an envelope. And he said, there's a check in there with a large enough sum to pay for the entire amount of the new sanctuary. He said, he whispered, but all I want is one favor. Tell the people at the funeral that my brother was a saint. Tell them he was a saint. The minister gave the brother his word. He would do precisely what he had asked. And that afternoon, he deposited the check into the church's account. The next day, the young preacher stood before the casket at the funeral service and said with firm conviction, this man was an ungodly sinner, wicked to the core. He was unfaithful to his wife, hot-tempered with his children, ruthless in his business, and a hypocrite at church. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. You've got to preach the word. You've got to tell people the truth. And you've got to live the word right where you're at. The greatest error in this system of the Pharisees was deceptiveness and dishonesty. It was accepted policy just to live that way. God's everywhere. He sees all things. Truth has no degrees or shades, okay? A half-truth is a whole lie. There's no little white lies. All of them's black, okay? How honest are you this morning? Proverbs 12:22, listen to what it says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. We don't have any trouble using that word in lifestyles. But listen to what he says about our mouths. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. D.L. Moody, I like this. The best way you can show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or to spend time denouncing it, but to lay a straight stick alongside of it. That's the best way. The only way that we change our culture, our world, is that we are that straight stick. We're that standard that God's called us to be. In our work, in every day, everything that we say is truthfulness that comes out of our mouth. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Every word in the course of daily speech should be truthful. I think it was Warren Wiersbe was talking about, he said, for thousands of years, the church has preached to the world to come to Christ to repent of their sins, ask God to forgive them. The church has done that. He said, you know, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but he said, we've become so dishonest, I'm afraid that the gospel's ashamed of us. Our dealings with the world should be honesty. The things that we do and the way that we treat one another should be in complete honesty and integrity. And God's dealing with that in these scriptures this morning. He's saying, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Well, applications, Lynn, if you'll make your way, we'll have our response time. Our applications, and we'll be over. Are you known for being a truthful person? Let me ask you that. Are you known for being truthful? Do you keep your word to your spouse and children? Are you a person of your word? Is honesty a standard you live and teach? Teach at home to be honest and then live to be honest. Let's all stand to our feet. I want you to be real before the Lord today. You know if you're an honest person or not. Here's what I want you to do. Don't want you thinking about what somebody's going to think. If God's spoken to you, you need to come to the altar. Come to the altar. Who cares what anybody else thinks compared to God? There's an area in your life you need to work on, and God's pointed that out. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Not would be a better thing to happen today. Had a young lady got saved Wednesday night, prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. It's going on. It's happening. It could be you. If you don't know Jesus, today's the day. He stands and he waits. Have thine own way is our song. Whatever, when we start singing, whatever's on your heart. You're a half-truth person. You know you surf the gray areas. Oh, you're always using something as an excuse to not come, serve. You know your areas. You use anything for excuse. Half-truth, not honest. Whatever the Lord says to you today, come forward. Another verse, whatever the Lord's saying.
Have thine own way.
Have your own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master Jesus.
people of honesty, whatever you do. Be people of your word. It's pretty bad if Lowe's gives you a better guarantee than the house of God. Be people of integrity. Know that you know Christ and live it out every day. Let your words show who you know and who you are. Whatever the Lord wants from you, do it in obedience. You can't go wrong. If maybe coming forward was something that was very foreign to you, I've seen you after church. I'd love to talk to you about any area that God's working. We're always here. We love you. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Kids have choir. We'll have a great time. Finger foods, fellowship, and then some Bible study. But I love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for our appreciation cards, too. I can't tell you, there's nothing greater. Nowhere I'd rather be than right.